You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 115, and I'm beginning a four-part series to the four cardinal virtues. That's prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Today's the introduction. We'll go over what the word virtue means, why it's important that we as Christians have a virtue ethic, and how that applies to our own lives. Howdy, and thank you for tuning into The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. My goal this week is to introduce you to the four cardinal virtues. That's prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to wherever you are in the world, and welcome back to the podcast. I had such a good time doing the series on the book of Revelation where we went verse by verse through from chapter 1 all the way to the end, and a lot of great response from that. I thought I'll do another series, but I didn't want to commit myself to something as huge and expansive as the book of Revelation. That took so much study and work to prepare and to set out for y'all. But I did want to do another series because it helps me organize my thinking. Of course, I always learn a lot, and I've been working on a small little book over the past year on the virtues, and I thought, you know, I'll do a podcast to share some of those thoughts and some of that research on the virtues. And I think a lot of us who are Christians, especially those of us who are Catholic, we know about faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and love. Those are the three theological virtues, the supernatural virtues. But a lot of us don't know much about the four cardinal virtues, the moral virtues, also called the natural virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. And so I'm going to dedicate a show to each one of those virtues. This is the intro. We'll talk about what the word virtue means. We'll talk about virtue ethics. And then we'll briefly introduce how knowing the cardinal virtues will help you in a natural way in success and influence in this world, temporal success. And then we'll look at how the four cardinal virtues help us in a supernatural way. So both the natural and the supernatural. Before we get into the featured segment and look at what virtue is and how it relates to us as humans and as Christians, just a couple announcements. The first is that it snuck up on me. I've been waiting for it for a long time, but I actually have missed it the last couple of weeks. The Taylor Marshall podcast has hit 1 million downloads, over 1 million downloads. In fact, I just checked it before I turn on the microphone here, and we've had 1,024,019 downloads of the Taylor Marshall Show. And that's kind of amazing to think about. I know we've been moving up on that number. When we hit 500,000, I couldn't believe it, and then now we've hit 1 million. And so just a big thank you to all of you that listen, that share this podcast, especially to all of you that have gone onto iTunes and rated it and recommended it and given it 5-star reviews. Y'all have really been the ones who have marketed, if we want to use that term, this podcast and made it grow so quickly. So thanks so much for listening. It's my honor and pleasure to put these podcasts together, and I'm glad that you benefit from them. And yeah, it's just fun. I mean, one of the things that's neat and interesting, but also kind of scares me a little bit, is how much over the past couple years I've put of personal details into the podcast as I'm talking. And I often forget that I do that because when I'm recording the podcast, I'm either just in a studio or I'm on my office with a bunch of books around me and a Bible and a computer screen and a microphone and a mixer. And I sometimes forget that there are thousands, actually tens, hundreds of thousands of you out there listening. And so when I'm out in the real world, I'll be at a daily mass or I'll be traveling, I've been in Europe, and people recognize me or we start talking, I'm always unnerved and almost sometimes embarrassed by how much information people know about me. They know how many kids I have. They know their names. They know Joy, my wife. They know about Joy. They know about whether she's pregnant or if she just had a baby. They know my travel schedule sometimes. They even know things about my diet, my exercise, books I've been reading, books I've read. And sometimes they'll just, you know, you, when I meet you, you'll start talking about something I've said or done in the last maybe 2 years ago, and I don't even remember it. And I have to be reminded. So that's sometimes kind of embarrassing for me. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's kind of neat that there's a community of people out there who listen to these podcasts and share them with one another. And the thing I hear most of all is that they're beneficial and that you like them and you like this perspective. I think this perspective, having done now a million downloads, I think the niche of this podcast is that it's Catholic, and sometimes it's fun and goofy, but mostly it's somewhat intellectual or academic, but not in a way that's stuffy or hard to follow. I try to bring something that's a little bit deeper, but not something that's going to require you to listen to it over and over again or to take notes. It's something that's hopefully stimulating your mind, but also in a way pedestrian, where you can kind of come and go in and out of it. So that's my goal as I prepare these. And that's my goal as we move through the virtues in this podcast and in the next four on prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. And speaking of personal things, and some of these podcasts I've been including some more personal things, and I think it's good. Maybe 2 or 3 years from now, if I meet you and you bring these things up, maybe I'll forget about it. Maybe it'll still be a part of my life. I don't know. But some of the things going on in our life is joy is excited because we have 8 children. And for the first time in 14 years, she's home alone with one child, Margaret, because the older 7 are now in school. So Joy was kind of excited about having, you know, more time and able to go and go to the grocery store with just one child instead of 3 or 4 children, and to see her friends and do some more things for herself. But when we dropped off the 2 younger ones the first day, she started to cry. And, you know, it's this maternal instinct that overwhelms her. So something that she thought she'd be really excited about was very emotional. But I think she's back to being excited about having just one baby at home and having a little bit more freedom that goes with that. Also, we are, I've signed up again to be teaching at the Rome Experience. So if you know any seminarians who would like to go to Rome and study for 7 to 8 weeks and study Catholic theology, I'm one of the professors there. I'd love to teach them. So if you know any seminarians, refer them to the Rome Experience. Just Google Rome Experience. It's a fantastic way to support our seminarians, to make sure they get authentic Orthodox Catholic theology and spirituality and get acquainted with Rome, the eternal city. And of course, I'll be there with them. Also, I would love it if you would help support this apostolate. You can make a donation there. It doesn't go to me. I just think it's a great apostolate. Joy and I support it. So you can go to Rome Experience and make a donation there. I think it's one of the best apostolates on planet Earth. And if you do, please tell them that I sent you. That way they know that I'm helping raise some money for the Rome Experience. Also, I haven't confirmed it yet, but this year we did a new St. Thomas Institute pilgrimage to Guadalupe, which was very successful, and a new St. Thomas Institute pilgrimage to Rome and Italy and Assisi and Siena. And that was so much fun, and I really enjoyed all the new St. Thomas Institute members who joined us for that. And so we're looking at pilgrimages for the next year, and 2017, which is next year, marks the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, her apparitions in Portugal. And so I'm considering doing a pilgrimage to France and Spain and Portugal, Fatima, Marian shrines to show our devotion, our love for Our Lady, but also to visit Fatima for the 100th anniversary. So if you're interested in that pilgrimage, or maybe something else, we've talked about maybe doing the Holy Land and going to Jerusalem. We've talked about maybe doing Rome and Guadalupe again, because those are so popular. So if you'd like to go on a pilgrimage with me, and we'll do Catholic classes and lessons, it's kind of like this podcast, but instead of being on your iPhone, we are at the Vatican, or we're at the church where Padre Pio's buried, or we're on a bus in Mexico City, going to see Our Lady Guadalupe. So it's really cool. So look for more news on that. And of course, I'll be announcing whatever pilgrimages we decide to do on the podcast as well. Other things going on in our lives. I'm pretty excited. I've been working on my strength training. I do Strongless 5x5s if you're interested in what program I do. And I just got a new max deadlift. Pretty excited about. I broke through 400 pounds. So it's a 405 pound standing deadlift. And I'm on the journey to the 1,000-pound club is my goal. So that's if you take your deadlift, your squat, and your bench press, and you add up the numbers, it comes up to 1,000 pounds. So I think I might have it. I just need to redo those three lifts and see if I've got the 1,000 pounds. My missing piece was the deadlift, and I think I just got that in the last week. So that's pretty exciting. And I'm still doing some Brazilian jiu-jitsu as an experiment, kind of another form of fitness. If you're into Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I'd love to hear from you. I think it's a fascinating sport and martial art. So that's kind of what's going on in my life. Let's get into the virtues. Prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. If you're a member of my new St. Thomas Institute, we talk a lot about the virtues. I think it's probably the thing that we're missing the most in contemporary Catholic catechesis and evangelization. We talk a lot about the sacraments, which is very important. It's more important, actually. But we need to learn more about the inward transformation, the renewal of the mind, as St. Paul calls it, through the virtues. Now, what is a virtue? A virtue, according to St. Thomas Aquinas and the Catholic tradition, is a good habit. A virtue is not a good work or a good deed. That's a good work. But a virtue is like a string of pearls. Every pearl represents a good work, a good deed. And as you string them together, you create a virtue. So doing something that's, let's say, justice is one of the four virtues. Doing something just one time doesn't make you just. It doesn't give you the virtue of justice. Doing something just 100 or even 1,000 or 10,000 times begins to create that groove in your soul, which is the virtue of justice. So we want to create habits. Virtue is about habituation. It takes about, they say, 21 to 30 days to create a habit. So it could be a good habit or a bad habit. A good habit is a virtue. A bad habit is a vice. Picking your nose is a habit. It's a bad habit. Going to Mass every day or reading the Bible every day, that's a habit. If you do it for 21 to 30 days consecutively, you've created a pattern in your soul, a groove. The virtue is being established within you. So that's what a virtue is. Now, the etymology of the word virtue comes from Latin. It's related to the Latin word vir, or if you use the classical pronunciation, vir. V-I-R, it means man. Virtue, virtus, means manly. So what does it mean to be manly, to excel? That is a virtue. Now, the women listening may be like, wait a second. Can women be virtuous? Can women be manly? This is a great question. If a woman is trying to be virtuous in Latin, isn't she doing something like transgender-ish? Well, that's part of the problem with the Latin word virtus. If we go to Greek, the word is arete, and that Greek word arete means excellence. And that's the word that Plato's going to be using, that Aristotle's going to be using, and I like it much better because it's unisex. It's not giving privilege to being male. And of course, if you listen to my other podcast or you listen to me on the Maccabee Society podcast, you know that I'm about as anti-feminist as it gets. And I talk a lot about traditional marriage roles and family roles and all of that. So don't think I'm a feminist by just saying this. It's probably the other way around. But I do recognize that in this etymology itself, it does seem to be somewhat exclusive to females in Latin because the word virtue is linked to the word vir, man. And not man as in human, man as in male. Now, Cicero, who's one of my favorite pagan thinkers, he's an orator, a lawyer, even a philosopher, you could say, he usually uses the word honestas, H-O-N-E-S-T-A-S, for the Greek word arete. So when you're reading, let's say you're reading an English translation of Cicero and you see the word virtue, it's usually not the word virtus, it's the word honestas. And I wish that the Latin tradition and the Catholic tradition had used the vocabulary of Cicero in this way. I wish honestas came to be associated with what we call virtue, because it's not associated with just the word man. And also, it's a better translation of the Greek word arete, meaning excellence. Honestas has that same triliteral root, H-O-N, where we get the word honor. So Cicero is linking virtue with like the honor. So he would not speak of the four virtues, but almost like the four honorable items in the soul: prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. So in conclusion for point one, what is virtue? Virtue is a good pattern, a good habit. In Latin, it refers to being manly, being what we might say alpha, being an alpha male. But in Greek, it means excellence. In an alternative Latin term, honestus, it means an honorable item, an honorable thing in our souls. Now, many of you, when you went to college, if you went to college, you probably took a philosophy class or an ethics class or philosophy 101, and you were most likely exposed to something called situation ethics. And it goes something like this. There is a train that has 1,000 old people on it. And then there's a baby tied to the train track, and you're standing at the track shifter. So you can either pull the lever and the 1,000 old people will go off the cliff, or you can push the lever and the baby will be run over. What do you do? And so college professors use these, you know, very strange situations that probably would never happen in real life to challenge 18-year-old, 19-year-old students to think about ethics. Now, the problem with situation ethics is it creates these unusual situations and then uses the exception to try to generalize a ethical solution, which almost always is relativistic. So, you know, for example, that question is trying to determine, is the life of a baby worth more than several old people? And what this does for young people is it just confuses them. It doesn't make them more ethical. In fact, some studies have shown that when students take an ethics class, a secular ethics class at a university, they actually become more unethical after having taken the class. I read a study, I won't name the university, where they polled the students, and the students claimed that they were more unethical after taking the class. And the reason given was they were able to justify their behavior better. So the ethics class didn't teach them to be more ethical. It just showed them how to use casuistry or situation ethics to justify what they wanted to do in the first place. Contrary to this approach to ethics is a system called virtue ethics. And as Catholic, I think I've done a podcast on this before. I know I've talked about it a lot in the New St. Thomas Institute. Virtue ethics is a system that doesn't look at situations per se, but instead it's more like strength training or marathon training or fitness. And it says, look, you don't know in the next 40 years of your life what moral situations you're going to be in. So instead of focusing on all these strange situations of babies tied to train tracks or whatever, let's look at the virtues. Let's look at the patterns that have been established in human history. If you're a Christian, you can say, let's look at the Bible, scripture, tradition. And let's work on ourselves. Let's lift the spiritual weights, the weights of virtue, over and over and over, so that whatever comes along in our path of life, we're able to do the right thing. There will be ethical situations, ethical questions in the future that may have never been encountered in the history of humankind. But by training the muscles of virtue, by creating deeper and deeper grooves in your soul for prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance, and for the Christian, faith, hope, and charity, you will be able to intuit the right decision. And we see this in war. We see it in the history of the church, where these very unusual or strange situations come up, and the saints and the virtuous popes and the leaders and the generals are able to make the right decision, not because they studied a ton of situation and situation ethics, but because they worked on the muscles of virtue, the patterns of right living. So that's virtue ethics. How do you make 18 and 19-year-old freshman college students more ethical? It's not by teaching them situation ethics. It's by teaching them what the seven virtues are, what are the subsets of those seven virtues, and then telling them, hey, let's get into the gym. Not the gym with weights in it or treadmills. Let's get into the gym of the moral life, and let's start making daily decisions that build the habit of virtues. So then when it's 40 years down the road and some very strange ethical situation comes up, you're able to bench press that weight. You're able to squat that weight. You can deadlift that weight. You're able to run and endure under that weight because, unlike everyone else around you, you've built the deep tissue muscularity and skeletal structure to lift difficult ethical situations. Does that make sense? That's virtue ethics. And then our third point before we close for this podcast, and we'll start to relive all these things as we go through the four virtues, is how it applies to you. And I mentioned in the intro, you know, there's natural success, temporal success, and there's supernatural success. And if you listen to the intro of every single one of these podcasts, you know, I'm trying to give you tips, strategies, tactics for living a successful natural life. I mean, not all my tips have to do with reading the Bible and sacraments and fasting and mortification. Sometimes they're just good books to read, or, you know, how to improve your diet or whatever. So the virtues themselves will help you be successful in the natural life, but also in the supernatural life. And I believe as Christians that we should never take this attitude, which says, hey, I'm a total and complete failure in life. My marriage is horrible. I don't have enough money. I can't pay my mortgage. I can't afford my car. But I'm a real spiritual person, and I love Jesus, and I pray a lot. I don't think that that is the message that Christ came, and that's not the reason why Christ came to die. Christ came that we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. And I believe that that gift of life has to do with the life that we're leading right now and in the life to come. So when Christ came, did he heal people of their physical, natural maladies? Yes. Did he heal them of their supernatural vices and sins? Yes. So Christ comes to heal us and to elevate us both on the natural level and the supernatural level. So as you study these four cardinal virtues, which are called the natural virtues, the moral virtues, you will learn how to become more happy, how to be more fulfilled, how to keep a smile on your face. You'll also become more influential. If you're prudent, if you're just, if you have strength and courage of fortitude, if you're temperate, guess what? You will be influential in your community, in your family, amongst your friends, at works. You're probably going to get promoted. People are going to look to you to lead. And then lastly, on the natural level, you'll be able to persuade other people, not just because you'll have a sharp intellect, which you will, but because your life is a testament to excellence, to what the Greeks called arete. When people look at your life, yes, they'll see mistakes. They'll see sins. No one's perfect, but they'll see a deep groove of virtue, a pattern of excellence. And people are attracted to that because there is so much failure and mediocre attempts in our lives and then the people around us. You know, it's hard to find awesome and excellent employees. It's hard to find awesome and excellent pastors. It's hard to find awesome and excellent spouses, right? Think about how much time and effort we put in to cultivating seminarians, how much time and effort we put into courtship and dating and engagement and marriage prep and marriage seminars and marriage counseling. Think how much time we put into training people for jobs, high school, college, graduate work, job fairs, mentorships, internships, training employees. I mean, we spend so much time trying to find the right people for the right spots. And so if you're living the virtues, if you're building those grooves, building up those muscles, those patterns, you will have natural success. Guaranteed. And as you know, when I read the Proverbs are always talking about this natural kind of success. But more important than that is supernatural success. Supernatural success includes overcoming sin, rooting out vice like a rotten tooth in your mouth. Maybe you have patterns in your life that are connected to lust or to anger or to pride or to just sloth, being lazy. You know, the seven deadly sins, I've gone through several of them right there. We need to root that out. You can't just root it out like, I'm going to root that out of my life. Boom, it's gone. No, it takes digging. It's like you get the shovel out and you start moving dirt. The process of moving dirt and digging out sin requires patterns. It requires virtue. So supernatural success requires these virtue. Also evangelization. All of us want to be able to draw people to Jesus Christ. Everyone listening right now, I know, wants certain people in their lives to grow closer to Jesus Christ, to experience profound conversion, to overcome addiction, to come into the Catholic faith, to return to the Catholic faith. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you have the skeletal and muscular structure to lift heavy weights for the kingdom of heaven. How do you do that spiritually? You do it through virtue. And then, of course, last of all, on the supernatural success is sainthood. All of us are called to be great saints. All the popes of the last 100 years have said that we're called to be great saints, to live extraordinary lives in the ordinary context of our daily living. And how do we do that? We do that by becoming strong in the Spirit, and the Spirit helps us by cultivating and infusing in us the virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Now, we'll stop there. Next podcast, we'll pick up with the most important of the four cardinal virtues, and that is prudence. And you can memorize the four virtues as we teach in my new St. Thomas Institute, and we've mentioned on the podcast before, prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. I made up a silly little thing, as I often do, to help me remember them. PJFT, peanut butter, jelly, French toast. Peanut butter, jelly, French toast. Peanut butter, jelly, French toast. I'm allergic to peanuts and peanut butter, so I remember this. Peanut butter, jelly, PJFT, French toast. Prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. Peanut butter, jelly, French toast. Now, for the rest of your life, you will never forget the cardinal virtues. They are branded into your mind. Peanut butter, jelly, French toast, PJFT, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. All right, before we get to the tip of the week and our shout-outs and our Latin word of the week, just a few announcements. Sword and Serpent 2, the sequel to my best-selling novel about St. George, Constantine, Helena, St. Catherine of Alexandria, St. Nicholas, St. Christopher, all these great saints that lived at the same time around the Mediterranean Sea. I've put them all together into a fast-paced action historical fiction novel. It's called Sword and Serpent. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can get the study guide if you want to learn more about the historical background of the Saints in the, around the year 300. Go to swordandserpent.com, swordandserpent.com. If you've read the book, I'd love for you to review it, and I'd love for you to get that free resource, which is the study guide, swordandserpent.com. Also, in the next couple weeks, we will be opening up fall enrollment for the New St. Thomas Institute. The New St. Thomas Institute is an online institute for Catholic philosophy, theology, apologetics, and church history. We are the largest Catholic online institute on planet Earth. We have over 3,000 students in over 60 nations, and I am teaching online Catholic classes there with some other people as well. But you can sign up. It's extremely inexpensive. For less than $1 a day, you can begin earning your certificate in whatever you like. If you want to do Catholic philosophy, study Thomas Aquinas, boom, we have that. You want to study Catholic theology, Christology, Mariology, sacraments, we have that. You want to hone in your apologetic skills. How do you convince atheists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Protestants about the truths of the Catholic faith in a way that's persuasive and accurate? We have a certificate curriculum on apologetics, and we are also working on our new certificate on Catholic Church history. We're looking at the Church Fathers, the early heresies, the early councils, the early martyrs, the early popes. So if you want to get into church history, we have courses and modules on Catholic Church history. So if you want to learn more, go to newstthomas.com. Sign up. If it's not open yet, get on our waiting list. We usually have 200 to 500 people on our waiting list to sign up. It's very popular. We always sell out our spots when we do one of these seasonal enrollments. So please check it out, newstthomas.com. The tip of the week is something that I've been trying the last couple days, and I've done it before, and I've been pretty successful at it. It's intermittent fasting. This is fasting for spiritual reasons or for physical reasons or for both. You know, if you want to lose weight, if you want to trim down, or if you want to experience with a ketogenic approach to thinking and living, that is reducing your carbs to such a low extent that your body transitions to fat burning and relies on fat burning more than it relies on carbohydrate or sugar burning, I would recommend it. Does it feel uncomfortable and really bad for the first 3 to 4 days? You bet it does. You're going to feel bad. However, I've noticed that when I reduce my meals, so we're talking about maybe just eating dinner for 3 or 4 days. During the day, there is a lucidity. I wouldn't call it a high, but there's a clarity in the mind that allows me to get a lot of work done and to think analytically on topics or on things that I'm writing or producing. That may seem counterintuitive because usually when we're hungry, we kind of get a little spacey and we lose our concentration. But if you push beyond that experience, suddenly your body transitions. You begin to burn ketones. You become fat transitioned. A lot of the people in the paleo community or in the primal community talk about this. So you can Google that and learn more about it. But I would encourage you to try it. Now, I mean, if you have diabetes or serious problems like that, of course, do not consult a doctor. But I think it's a pretty interesting experiment. And if you're a endomorphic type person who carries a little bit more fat on them, you may want to try it. A lot of people who are Northern European in descent find that it's a good way to regulate their mood, to regulate their insulin resistance, and also to keep at a healthy weight. So I'm not saying it's the end-all be-all, it's going to solve all your problems, but I do think IF, that is intermittent fasting, is an interesting strategy. I'm still experimenting with it, but I kind of like it. Before we close up with the Latin word of the week, I just want to remind all of our new listeners that there's a free gift for you at my website, taylormarshall.com, a free book on Thomas Aquinas called Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages. It's been downloaded and read by over 50,000 people. It's probably the most popular book on Amazon for for An Introduction to Thomas Aquinas. You can buy it if you want on Amazon. You can get it for free at my website, taylormarshall.com. And a shout out real quick to Little Amazon, who wrote a 5-star review on iTunes. And a shout out to, I hope I say this right, Bob Wereszewski. Looks Polish. I probably said it wrong. Bob writes the review of the week. He says, "It makes my day when a new podcast from Taylor Marshall becomes available. I love the way he speaks about the depths of Catholic theology and how to practically live our faith day to day in a day-to-day life. These podcasts are excellent. I only wish they came out more often. Thank you so much for your work in spreading the gospel. God bless." Well, Bob, thank you so much. I really appreciate those words, and I will try to put out podcasts a little bit more frequently. And if you'd like to leave a review, I would really appreciate it. You know, people go on iTunes and they're always looking for new podcasts. They're looking for information. And there's thousands of Catholics who go to iTunes and Google Catholic podcasts. Some of the podcasts on there are great. Some of them are not so great. And so when you leave a review on iTunes, you help people find this podcast because it is one of the highest rated podcasts. And if you would do that for me, I would really, really, really appreciate that. And you can do it. It takes only about 45 seconds. Just go to my website, taylormarshall.com/shout-out. Leave a rating, and I will mention your name on next week's show. I'll give you a shout-out. So thank you so much. And thanks to everyone who has left a review. I think there are, let me check real quick. There are over 523 reviews on iTunes. So thank you to all 523 of you who have taken time out of your busy schedule and taken a minute to leave a review. I read all of them, and I thank you so much. Our Latin word of the week before we close is prudentia. It's the Latin word for prudence. It's the virtue we'll cover next in this series. And prudentia is a contraction of the Latin word providentia. Providentia, where we get providence from, is from pro, forward. Videntia, from the word to see, like video. So looking forward. So prudence is a form of providentia. It's looking forward. Prudence is making right, practical decisions. And as we'll see in next week's show, prudence is making the right decision on what car to buy, what clothes to get, what camping equipment to get, where you should go to confession, who to marry, everything, how to budget, all of that falls under prudence. And this is why prudence, of the four virtues, is the prince of the cardinal virtues. It's the leader, because you got to get prudence correct before you get justice, fortitude, and temperance. But we'll save all that for the next podcast. And some of our listeners have asked that I close the podcast with a prayer, and I've agreed to do that. So I've put together a little prayer that I've been praying at the end of our Taylor Marshall Show podcast, and I'll pray that now. Wherever you are in the world, feel free in your heart to join me in this prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious Father, you love me. Your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me, and in gratitude, I want to know you and to love you in the depths of my broken heart. Because of your kindness, I repent of my sins, and by the fire of your Holy Spirit, allow me to have a deep personal relationship with you and to draw other people into your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, do know that God has a wonderful plan in store for your life. No matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how deeply and gravely you have sinned, God has a plan for you. He is planning to make you a great saint. He just asks us by faith to walk with him and to cooperate with him. You are the apple of his eye, and he loves you. So until next time, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.